The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 10th chapter. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus tells his disciples a little bit more about what is to come. And in the midst of all of the things that will happen, many of them which may not be good, Jesus tells them not to fear. Now we know that fear is so often used in our world, in our lives, to get a certain response from people. We see it in the news, a certain fear over things trying to be drummed up. We see fear by our politicians trying to get us to think or lean one way. We see fear as a tool, even as a weapon at times, to try to control people. But Jesus is telling us to not have fear. Jesus is telling us that we are valuable in God's eyes. That each one of us is valuable in God's eyes. That God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. And if God knows that, then God knows the goings and the comings in our own life. God knows what's happening with each one of us. It starts here. It starts here in these baptismal waters. It starts here that when the water is placed on our heads, we are claimed by God as God's own children. And then there's something very stark spoken over these waters. We are told that if we are united with Christ in a death like his, we will be united with Christ in a resurrection like his. I remember hearing a story many years ago, and I don't remember who told the story. But there's a community somewhere, there's a culture somewhere, that as parents are getting ready to have a child, that the father actually carves a casket for the child. Now, I know this might sound a little bit morbid, it might sound a little bit strange, but just bear with me for a moment. And on the day of the child's baptism, they bring that casket, that coffin, whatever you want to call it, they bring it to the church. They fill it with water, and it becomes the vessel in which the child is baptized. It becomes the way in which the child dies of themselves and are raised to new life in Christ Jesus. It's got to be an incredible image. And it's got to be such a scary and profound moment for those parents to create this vessel that is used for one thing, but in this moment in the life of the church is used for another. In our baptisms, we have been drowned in these waters. We have died of our old selves. We have been united with Christ in a death like his. So that as we proclaim throughout the season of Easter, as we proclaim Sunday after Sunday, that as Christ was raised, we too are raised. We too are raised from death. And sometimes I think we get confused. We get confused and we think that this is somehow a promise for some time off in the future. But it's not. This is a promise for our lives today. This is a promise for who we are today. This is a promise from God that we have value today. And because we have value, and because we have been told that we have been made free and that we are not to have fear, then we can be like the disciples and proclaiming all of the things that God has done to a world that needs to hear it. One of the things that I recognize in the midst of who we are as God's children is who we are in God's eyes. Is that in God's eyes, God's children are equal. In the last weeks, we've seen once again all of the ways in which in our world, in ourselves, in our communities, in our nation, in our world, all the ways that people aren't treated as equals. That some who have the power keep the power away from those unlike them. That some create a value based off a color of skin. That some place value off of a job that someone has. That some place value on the way that you think or the way that you work in this world. And God doesn't see those separations. God doesn't see those ways that we try to separate us one from another. God sees us equally. And I think it's so hard for us to imagine because we can't do it ourselves, so how can God do it? But thanks be to God that God can see us in our individual selves. God can see our uniqueness, God can see our gifts, and God can see our abilities, and God considers us equals in the kingdom of God. I read a story this week as I was studying for to preach the sermon, and it's about a lawyer whose job after 9/11 was to place value on the life of the people who died. So as insurance settlements were being paid, each person was given an amount. And the longer this person worked on it, the longer they realized that this didn't make sense. One person, a blue-collar worker, is worth $250,000. One person who's an executive in one of the top offices in one of those towers is worth $7.1 million, or whatever the number might be. And as he went and talked to these different families, He began to realize that this doesn't make sense. That this is a made-up system to assign value when each one of the lives lost that day were precious. And it makes me think more and more as I've listened to stories of times in which slaves were sold, that slaves from certain parts of Africa made more money than slaves from other parts of the continent. That if you were young and strong and male, you were worth more. Or sometimes if you were young and female and could bear children, you were worth more. Sometimes moms would be sold apart from their nursing children because that nursing child didn't have value yet in its society. And I know that's a long time ago, and sometimes it's easy to say, well, that's something that happened long ago. But we live along I-5, and one of the things we know about I-5 is a corridor for sex trafficking. It's a corridor for things to be shipped from north to south. And you have to believe and you have to know that in that business, in the sex trafficking that happens on I-5, that there's different value placed on different attributes and different people are being sold for different amounts of money. This is yet another reality of our world today. These are things often spoken in secret, whispered in the dark. And Jesus is telling his disciples, Jesus is telling us to not be afraid to speak these things out loud. Speak out the injustice that we see in the world. Speak out the ways in which we aren't holding one another as equal. Speak out in ways that show that each person has value, the same value, in God's eyes. This is what we have received in our baptism. This promise of the promise that we have died with Christ and we have been raised to new life. And in that new life, we have work to do these days. And the work isn't always easy. Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household." And I think we know this too, because some of our families right now are struggling. Some of the members of the family may be thinking that our society needs to move one direction. Other members of the family say, hey, everything's good. Why don't we stay the way it is? And so those divisions are coming about in our own families. And I think one of the pieces that we lose sight of so often, one of the things that we forget about Jesus' ministry on earth that may change our focus, or that can change our focus if we allow it to, and that is that when you're looking for Christ in the world, when you're looking for how Jesus is moving in the world, when you're looking for the ways that Jesus is active in the world, then you don't look in the places of power. You don't look in the expected places. But instead, you look out on the margins. You look out in those places where people are told they're not even human. You look to the places where people are living like they're not even human. You look to places where the equality is so disparate that you can't help but notice. And you can't not help but not want to see it sometimes. You see, Jesus has also promised to be with the least of these in the world, the outcast, the sinner, the widow, the orphan. That's where Jesus promises to be. And it's also where Jesus calls us to go. Jesus tells us this work that we are about is not easy. This work that we are about will cause pain and division. But Jesus tells us, do not have fear. Do not have fear. Remember my Father who claimed you in the waters of baptism. Remember my Father who knit you together in your mother's womb. Remember my Father who can count the hairs on your head. Remember my Father who values you more than two sparrows, than a sparrow. Remember my Father, Jesus says, because he is your Father too. Amen.